Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Family Essence. I want to welcome each and every one of us to this program on Family Essence. Once again, I want to say God has been good to us, and God has been faithful, keeping his promise in our lives. I want to bless God for how it has made it all possible for us to be gathered once again in his presence. Of course, this is Family Essence, and of course, one of the reasons why we gathered is to embrace the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and to learn in the Word, and to allow God to instruct us. And that's the essence of a family. Basically, there will be several corrections. There will be several things to share in the family. And we, of course, have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us based on the scriptures, based on what he has to say to us. And without wasting much time, we are going to pray together, and then we consider God's word, and we'll pray together as well. And that is that will be all for today. Family Essence is a program staged and designed by God to bring about correction in the body of Christ, more in so much that we will be able to keep ourselves in shape based on the original design that God intended for our lives, in order for us to be joined together with him when Christ comes. We'll be pray together shortly. I want us to bow down our heads and say a word of prayer, that as we've come into the presence of God today, that the Lord God Almighty will bless our lives, will open our eyes so as to be able to see, and to see what his will is, and to ask for grace, that God will give us the grace to be the doer of his word. The Bible says that the letter killeth, the spirit gives life. The words that are spoken by Jesus, the words inspired by the Holy Spirit, they are spirit and life, and they have the ability to infuse life to the hearers. Let's pray that as we've come together, the Lord God Almighty will bless our lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. A righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. We bless your name. We thank you for how you've deemed it fit for us to be gathered together in your presence today. We thank you, Lord, for the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. Thank you, O Lord, for your power upon us. We give you our praise. Be exalted, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we are praying, we are asking, O God, that as we gather together in the unity of faith today to search the scriptures, for in them we think we have eternal life. We think we have a chance to enter into your kingdom. Lord, we pray that you will visit us and speak your word through your Holy Spirit and minister to our hearts and lives. Let your word achieve the purpose to which it will be sent to us today, in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us, O Lord, to take this charge as a correction. Help us, O Lord, to take your word as a tool that would repair our lives and set us prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know it is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us again on Family Essence. Today, we will be looking at an important subject before us on Family Essence. And the topic we will be looking at is the common salvation. The common salvation. The book of Jude, verse 1 to 3 is what we will be considering. And this writer actually find out that there are a lot of things happening in the body of Christ that are almost. We can say it's a kind of a matter of eternal security, basically. So where people start living their life the way they want, and they've forgotten that the salvation that you see as common can be lost in the middle. So recently, you know, we as individual, we get gifts from people. And different gift comes to us, but I will just start with a situation that happened recently with my son, and he did ask for a pet, basically a dog, and then he said, "Oh, Daddy, can we buy a dog?" And this and that, and you know, the conversation started, and okay, I said. I had to first list out the responsibilities, basically, because I mean, it's not just, I don't get too excited, you know, about getting a dog. First of all, consider the look at the responsibility. So I made a list of, you know, what needs to be done, because it's not enough for you to have a pet. You need to be responsible for that pet. So, and when I made that list, I think that ended the conversation in a way that, you know, not to discourage him, but I just had to make a list, like, you have to be responsible for the dog. You have to take the dog for a walk. You have to, you know, the dog will poop, the dog will, you know, and all that. And I had to make that list. And then at the end of the day, I think that conversation never came up again. Hopefully that's the end of it. But in reality, you find out that there are different, people gift us things, basically. It could be a gift of a toy for kids. It could be a gift of probably something, something could be a car. It could be a house. It could be a land. It could be anything at all, basically, on online. And someone can just send us a bag. A handbag, or, you know, anything at all. I mean, we get gifts, basically. But I want to say that before we proceed, we will look at the writer of the book of Jude, and in verse 1 to 3, and then we can have an understanding of what people call, what is called the common salvation, rather. The common salvation. And if you read all through to verse 25, you will notice that Jude was trying to create a balance, bringing about balance in the body of Christ, that don't take the grace of God in vain. Don't think the salvation you have, you cannot lose it. A salvation is something, it's a gift of God through Christ. So when you're given a gift, you guide it jealously. And many of us, if we look at our house, we've gotten gifts from different quarters. Maybe a gift of a house from our grandparents. And we try to preserve this thing. We try to preserve this act of art, basically, so that nothing happens to them. We cherish the, you know, the gift of a fellowship with our siblings, you know, we kind of keep those kind of picture as a memory, because we consider them as a gift, basically. And then, you know, the book of Jude in verse 1 to verse 3, I'm going to read shortly, and then we'll look into a few matters that seems to be an issue in the body of Christ, and it's kind of troubling the different aspect of the body of Christ. So one of the reason why God has staged this program is to create a kind of balance so that we will know where we belong in the body of Christ. So the book of Jude chapter 1, in verse chapter 1, reading from verse 1, it's just one chapter basically. It says here, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. In verse 2, it says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. In verse 3, it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, what I want to bring up there, it's an issue of the common salvation. Now, Jude is saying that it's very possible for you to get salvation, to identify with Jesus, to raise your hand during altar call, during a program or during a crusade, and then you give your life to Christ. But if care is not taken, that salvation can, if not cherished, can be lost. So we see that if someone gets a gift, they try as much as possible to preserve the gift for probably 7 years. Some of us have gifts that has been there for over 30 years. Some of us have gift that has been there for 5 years. And the gift of salvation Jude is saying, don't get too excited very quickly. Yeah, you've gotten salvation. There are responsibility and there are things to do to preserve this gift of salvation. And it's saying there that when I write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful. There is a need for you to be careful of how you preserve this gift of salvation by earnestly contending for the faith. So that means that there are a lot of things that will come at us. And then when you've gotten salvation, what happened after salvation is that you are being strengthened by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps you to build capacity to match up to a level of grace, and then it begins to educate you about what you need to do to preserve this gift of salvation. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit, more like a quality control check, more like a mechanic. Some of us, we basically have, for those who have cars, you have cars, either whatever brand of car you have, Mazda, Toyota, Hyundai, whatever brand of car you have, basically. So you have cars and you understand that when you're driving this car, from time to time, the car will demand a lot of things from you. After a number of miles, you need to take the car for a check, for servicing, for oil change, for alignments, and probably you're driving the car on an highway and you kind of notice a kind of weird sound coming out of the car, and you will feel, I think it's time for me to take this car for a check. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is a spiritual mechanic that we have to preserve that salvation. And from time to time, there will be a need for us for the Holy Spirit will come from time to time to minister to us, to make us see reasons why sometimes it comes to you and it says, okay, now that you have salvation, this set of friends that you are keeping, you don't need to keep company with them again, because it will erode the salvation that you have received from God, the gift of salvation that you. And sometimes it comes to you and it says, that piece of land you want to buy at that vocation is going to lead to a lot of troubles, and I don't want you to pursue that land again. And then it comes to you and they say, the way you spoke to your daughter this morning, it's not quite good. So I need you to go back and apologize to your daughter. And then, you know, it could be a friend or something like that. So the Holy Spirit helps you to, so that you can begin to build capacity to come to that level. God operates in a frequency, basically, higher than what we imagine as human. God is holy, God is pure. Heaven is a holy place. So for you to be able to get into heaven, you know, the saving of the soul, what the Holy Spirit does is to save you, to save your soul after you've gotten salvation, so that your soul can be preserved, so that you will be able to be fit for the kingdom of heaven. So the car can be gifted a car, but then there is a need for you to understand the functionality and how cars should be preserved. Otherwise, if you notice a sound, you ignore it. You notice something against on the tires. You notice that the alignment is not too good. All these things are things that can harm and that can. You know, make you lose your salvation. So a salvation can be lost. So what Jude is saying here, the writer, is that there is a need for you to contend. There is a need for you to crave more for balance, basically. There is a need for you to crave more for balance. Otherwise, the faith you claim you have can be lost. In recent times, you'll find that people will say, oh, it's not easy serving Jesus. It's very hard. You can still be smoking. You can be doing all those. God is merciful. Don't be deceived. Those are people that are lost. They don't have salvation. When you come to an economy of God, God begins to mold your life through the Holy Spirit. Remove some things, and then you'll be wondering, what kind of person am I becoming? I think I'm becoming, I can live for weeks, days, months, years without sinning. And that's what the Holy that's the reason for the deployment of the Holy Spirit to the present day believers, so that we can be shaped in the image of God. We can be shaped in the image of God. If someone decides not to service his car, that car at the point is either the car breaks down or the person and it's involved in an accident. So the car that is gifted to you needs to be preserved. So also is salvation. So Jude is saying here, don't get too excited very quickly. There are responsibility that is attached to this salvation. This responsibility is to bring you into the level of perfection with God. Because our God is a perfect God. So it's very possible for you to live your life without sin. Very possible for you to live your life without sin. Now, why are the saints of old called saints? They are called St. John, St. Mark, you know, and then Luke, and they are called saints because they've allowed the Holy Spirit to shape their life, to mold their life in the likeness of Christ and in the image of God. So the writer of this passage once again wants us to come to an understanding that there is a need for us to contend for the faith. So immediately someone gets salvation, you receive salvation, either through an altar call at a crusade or through a conference or a program or a seminar, basically, you raise your hand, you give your life to Christ. Okay, I will no longer go back to sin. I'm sorry, Jesus. You identify with Christ, accept the person of Christ. There are different things that will contend with your faith, the faith that you claim you have. There are different altars that will shake that faith. So that thing that you claim you have, it needs to be tested. It needs to withstand the heat. There are all different kind of altars that will come, and an altar of fornication will come, an altar of immorality will come, and an altar of lasciviousness, an altar of evil speaking, backbiting, hatred. There are, the book of Matthew 15, verse 15 to 19 actually tells us about the things that comes to defile a man. So what defiles a man? These are different altars. These are different things that would come and shake that salvation, that to be able to know if you actually meant what you mean by picking up your cross and following after Jesus. The verse three of chapter 1 in Jude actually talked about it talked about earnestly contending for the faith. Earnestly contend. What does it mean to contend? Contending means you are trying to wield that gift of salvation. You are trying to wield it. You are trying to match up to the standard of God, the image of God, the likeness of Christ. You are trying to live above that sin that the old man, the Adam that you had on before, you've let go of the Adam. Now you are trying to model Christ. You are trying to walk in the image of God. So in order for you to be able to wield this gift of salvation, a lot of things will contend with that salvation that you claim you have. And we've seen so many people that actually claim that they have the gift of salvation, but they have lost it along the line. They've lost it. They are still looking for where to find it. They are looking for how did I lose the salvation? How? Because what? They don't allow the Holy Spirit to guide them. The Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom that is not in this world. It's not of this world. It's a different kingdom entirely. And for you to understand the culture of the kingdom of God, for you to be able to walk in the kingdom, for you to be able to manifest the gifts in the kingdom, for you to be able to walk in the image of God, you need a guide. And the guide, you need somebody to guide you. And the person who will guide you is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spiritual capital that we have as Christians, as people who have accepted salvation, who want to walk in the image of God, in the likeness of Christ. The Holy Spirit actually comes to shape us, to mold us, to correct us. It's not to harm us. Is to correct us, is to bring about balance in our lives, so that when Christ comes, we will be fit to go with him, to rapture with him into the kingdom of God. So in this age and time, you find out that there are a lot of issues in the kingdom, in the body of Christ, and a lot of false teachers talked about eternal security, and that's about when you have confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's all about it. Grace has covered you. Even if you sin, you go back. And when you read the entire Jude, you would discover that this is not this. These are false teachings. These are things. These are unlicensed teacher that are dwelling in lasciviousness. And it's quite very possible for a man or for any individual to be attending a church and the life is not changed. You've been attending the church for years. Probably you're even given, and they've even told you that you are a philanthropist in this church, and then your place of heaven is preserved. Even if you sin, if you fornicate, if you commit adultery, you sleep with someone's wife, you slap your co-worker at work, you backbite, you cheat, you do all sort of, you steal, you change numbers, you do all sort of
you know, iniquities, your place of heaven is secured. That is a lie. That is not true. So you need to wake up. So I'm here to tell you to wake up. And so many people are attending churches that have polluted altars. Even the so-called preacher and the so-called minister in that particular church, in those set of churches, they've polluted the altar of God. So there cannot be anything that comes from the pulpit that can infuse life in you. So there's a need for you to sit down and have a rethink about your salvation that you've lost. Maybe you've lost it before. Maybe you haven't gotten it at all. But then you are being guaranteed as a result of your church attendance, as a result of your popularity in church, as a result of your giving in church, and then the preacher in the church is telling you your place in heaven is guaranteed. That is a lie. That is a lie. It shows that that same altar that the person is supposed to be keeping watch over, that the preacher of the gospel is supposed to be preaching, is supposed to be keeping watch over, has been polluted. So there are so many thousands of polluted altars in the body of Christ. So if you belong to one of those altars, and then probably you discover there was maybe a minister used to talk to people anyhow, he doesn't have any kind of remorseful attitude towards how they speak to people. They just talk to members anyhow. They do things the way they like. They spend church money the way they like. They are living large. Those are polluted altars, and you need to find your way out of those kind of churches. Maybe you've witnessed maybe you even go to their house, you see the way the so-called minister of God is talking to the wife. There is no respect, there's nothing. That altar is polluted. So there are thousands of polluted altars in the body of Christ. Because what? The Holy Spirit has not been given a place in the lives of the so-called preachers. And you have preachers it doesn't matter how big the church is. The church can have 50,000 members. It can have branches in different locations of the world. God doesn't recognize those churches. And if you belong to those kind of churches, find your way to Christ. Find your way to Christ. Look for, allow the Holy Spirit to channel your course. And if the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit is a spirit that actually corrects us from time to time. And more often than not, you know, you discover that it keeps coming, and then at the end of the day, it stops coming. It doesn't strive with man. If you have received a rebuke from the Holy Spirit, maybe you did something, you offended your son or a co-worker at work, and then the Holy Spirit is telling you, you are the one at fault, go and apologize. Or the person is not at fault, you, whoever is at fault, just go and apologize. And you have been receiving rebuke like that, and you shut down the Holy Spirit, he will leave you. It will not come to you. The last time you hear God was the last time you obeyed him. So there's a need for you to understand where you are. Wake up to your reality. And I want to tell you, stop attending churches. There are different churches that the altar is polluted. There's not, if you attend the church from now to the next 10 years, your life cannot change. It cannot change. So salvation is a gift, is a reality in the kingdom of God. When you will this gift, for you to be able to will this gift, the Holy Spirit will come to administer some things into your life and to help you match up to the standard of the kingdom of God so that you can be prepared when Christ comes. Because when Christ comes, nothing that defile, no unrighteousness can enter into his kingdom. If you fight, you steal, you fornicate, you commit adultery, you do things with your body that are things that shouldn't be heard. You watch pornography, you masturbate, you do all kind of things, and then you belong to an assembly that even the minister of God is saying, it's okay, things that you do with the body is not, it's what comes out of your mind that really, it begins to paint different pictures to you. Run away from, and he said, I'm doing that too. So I mean, our God is a merciful God, and then he begins to paint different kind of things to you. Run away from that kind of church. And there is nothing that can infuse life in you that will come from that altar, because that altar is polluted. It's a polluted altar. If the so-called preacher still fights, if he keeps malice, if he does all these things, that altar is polluted. You need to run away and save your soul. So today, that is what the Spirit of God has to say to us, that the common salvation that we receive, we should not be too excited. Don't be excited too quickly and to say, I've gotten the salvation. You need to contend, because a lot of things will contend with that faith that you claim you have. So, if you have not given your life to Christ, or you have given your life to Christ and you've fallen from grace, this is another opportunity for you to accept the gift of salvation and to allow the Holy Spirit to channel your course. No other person can channel your course. It's the Holy Spirit. The minister of God speaks through the Holy Spirit, and you have an inner witness to bear witness that this is a message from God. The person that is in the church that is a preacher is a minister of the gospel. The person doesn't have the capacity of helping you wield that salvation. It can only speak the mind of God. And if perhaps you are attending a church that they are not speaking the mind of God, run away from your soul. If their attitude doesn't portray the mind of God, it doesn't portray the things of the kingdom, it doesn't portray the attitude of Christ, run away from that church. Run away. Save your soul. Save your soul. Don't say, I've known the pastor for 5 years. I've been in this church. I'm the founding member. That doesn't count in the kingdom of God. So I'm here to say to you, if you have lost the salvation, now it's time to regain it back. I'll be praying with you right now. I need you to bow down your heads and say a word of prayer to Jesus. If you have sinned against him, if you have sinned against God, you have sinned against heaven, pray to God that God should have mercy on you this time. Confess your sin to him, and he is here to accept you into his kingdom again. Let's close our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Our righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for how you've made it possible for us to learn in your word, to understand what it means to be saved, what salvation really means. Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking, committing those that are falling from grace, that are backslided, and they are coming back to you to start afresh. And for those that are now realizing their present situation and they discover that they are yet to be saved, Lord, I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ will wash them right now whiter than snow in the name of Jesus. As they make confession to you, O God, I pray that you will accept them and forgive them their sins and trespasses in Jesus' name. Write their names in the book of life. Forgive them, O God, and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father, for knowing it is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today.